righteous, we have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Romans 8 tells us we've been glorified. I mean, not just justified. I stand here glorified in God's sight. So like Brother Frank mentioned, we need to act like that. And I appreciate his message. Get two passages in your Bible, Mark 28 and Luke 4:1. Mark 28 and Luke 4:1. We're going to look at quite a few passages this morning. You'll be turning, and by the end, I hope you have a passion for turning, because we're going to be turning a lot to God's in God's words. But we're going to begin here. Mark 12:28, and Luke 4:1. And another thing I'm so impressed with, people like Brother Frank, he's down there with no notes, and he's just going, and I've got 100 notes here, you know. And it's like Brother Brandon, when Brandon preaches, they're so calm and everything like that, and I get all worked up, but I'm getting worked up for the Lord, right? Amen? Like I said, we're going to be turning to a lot of passages. I'm so thankful for the pastor today for showing confidence in me and giving me another chance to, well, that sounded bad, eh? Giving me another opportunity to preach God's word. I pray and hope the pastor and his family are having a great time in Florida, a warm and relaxing time. And as we can see, the cold weather is back, has hit Michigan again, which I don't mind. I live on dirt roads, so if it's wintertime, I want cold and icy. I don't want rain and muddy because I have to wash my car like every 2 days. So I like this weather in the wintertime. I was flipping through, before I begin, I just want to say I was flipping through channels this past week, and I came to a Christian station on TV, and I was watching, there were two pastors debating, speaking, and if I said the names, you'd know who they were, and they were talking about the Apostle Paul's ministry. That's not what my message is, but I just wanted to share this real quick as a bonus. And like I said, you'd know who these pastors were. One of the pastors, and we've all heard the arguments, one of the pastors said, well, he believed, and his church believed that after Judas betrayed the Lord, and then the apostles cast lots, the disciples cast lots, and it came on Matthias, that God didn't accept that. God did not accept Matthias. And so he believed that Paul took the place of Judas. The other pastor disagreed with him. He said, no, I believe that God accepted Matthias, but I believe that Paul wasn't one of the 12. The first guy believed Paul became one of the 12. The second guy said, no, I don't believe that. I believe that the 12, and we've heard this argument, that the 12 were not doing their job, so God had to raise up another apostle. Even though the scriptures tell us in early Acts that the apostles were full of the Holy Spirit, they were performing miracles, but because these men did not know what to do with the apostle Paul, they had to start trying to fit him in somewhere. So I turned the station, and I just sat there a minute, and I said, Lord, thank you that I know who the Apostle Paul is, that I don't have to try to make him fit into somewhere he doesn't go, that believing that Paul, which we do, the Apostle Paul, is the apostle to the Gentiles, God raised him up with a new message to us Gentiles. He cast Israel aside for a while. He turned to Jew and Gentile alike with a message, the message of the dispensation of God's grace. We should be so thankful that we understand that. Amen? Amen. Like I said, it just made me stop and say thank you. Okay, we can go home. I'm finished. My message over. Sorry, still got 2 hours to go. I seen someone right there go, okay, I'm gone. I told someone today, I said, my message probably won't take all 40 minutes, which it usually does, and I'm like, okay. But I would also like to say one thing before I start that's really been on my mind. I mean, we should pray for the Newmers, Don Newmer. I mean, it's just, every time I think of sometimes when my mom goes to be with the Lord and she walks through those gates and she looks at, and this is what I'm going to say at her funeral because I'll be the one talking, and I picture Christians doing this. When they walk through that gate and they see the Lord right there, they just say, my Lord and my God, and just scream because they're seeing their Savior for the first time. Amen? But one thing we need to do, we need to pray for our country. What I've seen in the last few weeks, few months, it's mind-boggling. No matter who you voted for, no matter what you, you know, who you're behind or anything like that, we need to pray for our president, our leaders, our country. 1 Timothy 2 tells us, Paul says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. We just need to pray for President Trump, our leaders in Senate, our leaders in Congress, all of our leaders. I pray that President Trump, I pray for his salvation, that he would get saved, and all of our leaders look to Scripture for the answers. One other thing, too, we see with our nation. I've thought about this a lot, and I was talking to a person at work. It seems like there's no hope. It seems like so many people are putting their hope in a man, or a party, or a person. We know what happens when we put our hope in another man or person. We have a greater hope. I know the pastor's talking on Wednesday nights about evangelism. I think the field, and I've been doing my own study. I can't make it here on Wednesday nights, but I mean, it just seems like the fields are ripe with people who need a hope. So we need to be praying for that too. Today I would like to speak for a few minutes on a subject that's very dear to my heart, that should be dear to all of our hearts, a subject that we should have such a passion for, loving our Lord with everything within us, putting Him first, having a great zeal and passion for our Lord. Is He worth it? Amen. I believe Scripture teaches us that it is our greatest calling to love the Lord with everything that we have. How can we do this? How can we make it tangible that it comes down to our level? We'll look at this morning. Let's pray. Our God and Savior, we thank You so much for the opportunity to speak, and we just pray, Lord, that something that's said would be beneficial to someone. We thank You for Your blessed Son who bled and died for our sins. We pray, Lord, as we look into Your Word, that You will show us, open our hearts and our minds, that we shall see that in our lives you should be first, and that our love for You would just be a passion that others can see. Father, we pray for Don Newmer, and we just ask, Lord, for Your grace and Your comfort deep down within her. Father, we do pray for our country. We pray, Lord, that we would be the witnesses that we should be. And we pray for our leaders that they would look to Scripture for answers. Just open our hearts and our minds now, Lord, we pray in Christ's holy name. Amen. I was reading an article. I've been watching on the news a lot about the slaughter that has taken place with Christians all over the world, and it's heartbreaking. I'm sure we've all seen it. We've heard it. I was reading a story by a pastor who witnessed this. I can't remember what country it was in, but it was a mother and a daughter who were about to get executed. And as they were about to get executed, both of them were reaching into heaven and saying, "My God, to you be the glory, the honor, and the praise." And that had such an effect on me. It built my faith up to hear someone like that as they're about to be executed, to hear the passion that they had for their Lord and Savior. And it was such a blessing to me. Mark 12:28. "And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, 'Which is the first commandment of all?' And Jesus answered him, 'The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment.'" Now, before I continue, I just want to say that I realize that Christ, that man is incapable of doing that, okay? That I'm not up here saying that, you know, we can do that. I believe we can have the desire to do that. And just as that was a commandment in the Old Testament, it doesn't make any difference. That's what God wants from his people, to love them with all of thy heart, all of thy soul, all of thy mind, and all of thy strength. Christ fulfilled that promise, just like he fulfilled all the other commandments in the law. However, I do believe we are to desire to do that and have a passion for doing that. We are not under the penalty of not fulfilling the law, because Christ has already filled it. Amen. He's already fulfilled it. But it should be the desire of our heart. It's just like any law in the Old Testament, any commandment, like don't commit adultery. Well, even though that's in the Old Testament, I should still desire not to do that. So it doesn't make sense when I hear people say that, oh, that's an Old Testament thing, Old Testament commandment. Well, it really isn't. Any of the Old Testament commandments we should want to do. In this case, we should want to desire to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, and soul, above everything else. I'm in Christ. We're all in Christ who are saved. I cannot be loved any more than I am right now. I can't have God's favor any more than I do right now. God loves me as much as he ever will because I'm in Christ. He sees me as the righteousness of his Son. But because of everything he has done for us, took our sin upon him, gave us his righteousness, blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, accepted us in the beloved, etc., 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 shouldn't we have the passion and the desire to love him, put him first in everything that we do? Turn over to 1 John 4. Please. First John 4:19. We all know this passage. Why should we have such a desire to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Basically, that means to love God with everything within you, to have a passion, everything within you. 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. Christ did all this for us. We should have such a desire to do for him and to love him. I'm not going to break down what each of these mean, heart, strength, mind, and soul. But basically to mean me, it means everything within us. Now, how can we break that down into a tangible, concrete way that we can really understand it? Because you hear people all the time, oh, I love God. I love God with everything I have. I love God. I love Christ. But how do we bring it down to a level we can really understand? How do we bridge the gap, for lack of a better term, with a God we can't see? How do we make that application? I think Luke 4 sheds some light on that. Luke 4, please. Luke 4, 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it may be made into bread. And Jesus answered, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Satan was tempted Jesus because Jesus was hungry. And Jesus did not deny that he needed bread. I mean, a physical blessing, a physical attribute, a physical substance that he needed. But Jesus went, it's amazing, Jesus went so much farther. He went into greater truth. He shed greater light when he said, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out, by every word of God. And another gospel says, every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So he understood the physical, but Jesus was saying to men, they needed something more to sustain them. They needed something more to give them purpose in life. They needed something more to cling to delight to. Let's turn back to the book of Psalms. We're going to be in Psalms for a few minutes, a little while. Psalms 1:1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That word for delight is passion. Or you could say his love. The psalmist basically is saying, my love is in the law of the Lord, and in the law of the Lord, in his law, doth I meditate day and night. What was Jesus saying back when he was talking to Satan? Basically, Jesus was saying, there's something more than physical. There's something that brings man life and desire and purpose and passion. Matthew 6:21 says, where your treasure is, there will be your heart. Over and over, the Psalms describe God's word and his passion for it. Psalms 56:10. If we could turn there. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. Psalms 119:11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Psalms 119:16. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Verse 43. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. Verse 81. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but my hope in thy word. 172. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteous. And my favorite psalm, very favorite, 138:2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. I remember the first time I really studied that. We were coming, this was a long time before Jim. I started coming here, and I had a friend come with me. And, you know, the music program wasn't what it is today and everything. And and we were coming, but he stopped coming. And I said, he believed in right division. And I asked him, why are you coming? He said, well, the music isn't what I want. You know, the music program isn't very good. And I told him this verse. It hit me, this verse. I worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. I'm like, what is the most important thing? God's word, amen. Turn over to John 1, please. How can God say, I have magnified thy word above thy name? John 1, in the beginning was the word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Go down to verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Christ is the Word. The living God is the living Word. Turn over to John 8:31. Jesus talking to the disciples. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So basically, Jesus is saying, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples. In his word. Turn over to John 15:7. He says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. In verse 8, he said, if you abide in my words. Here he's saying, if you abide in me and my words in you. Jesus is who? The Word of God. Turn over to Revelation 19:13. We'll start in verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written, and no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Revelation 19:15. And out of his mouth goeth a sharpened sword, and with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. These two verses, Revelation 19:13 and 19:15, are so united with Jesus, so united with Jesus himself, that John says he just doesn't have a sword coming out of his mouth, but he is the Word of God. Hebrews 1, chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and all in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Psalms 33:6, you don't have to turn there. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Turn over to Colossians 1, please. Colossians 1:16, for by him, remember what the psalm said, by his word, for by him were all things created and are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. We see that from all these passages, and we could look at tons more, that Jesus Christ is the Word of God. Please turn to John 10:25. Starting with verse 10:24. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered him, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness with me, of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. The Jews knew exactly who Christ was declaring himself to be. Back in Mark 29:28 or 12:28, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. They knew exactly who he was saying he was. And they were ready to stone him. How can we tell if we are pursuing passionately and loving God, and that we have a God? Do we have a love for God's word? You can't separate the two. Christ is the word of God. He's the living word. And like I said before, you hear people saying all the time, I'll talk to people all the time at work and that, oh, I love God. They don't read God's word. Do we meditate on it, as Psalms 1:1 said? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Is it that important to us? How do we understand and love Scripture? Turn over to 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. When we got saved, the Holy Spirit came into our hearts, came into us. When we trusted in Christ, the Holy Spirit came in, and the Holy Spirit's job is to illuminate Scripture for us. In John 16:13, Jesus tells us that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, will glorify Jesus. Study and polls coming out in the United States continue to show that Christians who believe that this is God's word is diminishing day by day. One poll actually showed that close to half of those who call themselves Christians believe at least part of the Bible is not God's word. My question is this: how can, if we are to love the Lord our God with all our strength, our mind, our soul, and our heart, and Jesus and the Father are one, and Jesus is the Word of God, my question is this: how can you love someone without knowing them? How can you love the Lord your God or pursue that if you're not reading Scripture? And the Word was God. All of Scripture is about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's everywhere. This book is about Jesus Christ, God incarnate, God Almighty. Turn over to 2 Timothy 2:15. As Brother Frank said earlier in his message today, all the Bible is for us. The entire Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's all over the pages. It's about him. But everything is not to us, as Brother Frank said earlier today. And I like to always say this, when you send a letter, you want to send it to the right address, because it's not going to get there. So if you get a letter coming in and it's not your address, you're not going to open it. It's not your mail. Our mail is from Romans to Philemon. And over those pages, it's about one person, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 2:15. We all know this verse. We've got it memorized, I'm sure. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We divide Scripture. Christ is still on every page in this Bible. It's about him, but we divide of what he is to us. Jesus Christ to us is the head of the body, the church. Jeremiah 15:16 says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." When we study, eat, love, have a passion for God's word, what happens? Romans 10:17 tells us, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? Word of God." Turn over to Hebrews 11:16. 11:6, please. If the Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, verse 6 says, but without faith, it just told me, faith comes by hearing. But without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So that tells me it's impossible to please God without faith. And yet we're told to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. But yet it's impossible to please God without faith. This is where we get faith. This is where we get our love for God. If you have a love for God's word, a passion for God's word, it's a demonstration of your love for him. If you're taking it and you're obeying it, it's a demonstration of your love for him. You can't separate the two. Christ is the word of God. So if those Christians who don't believe God's word, how can they gain faith? If a Christian says, if these Christians say that it's not God's word, just common sense says they can't have faith, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. How can they please God if they don't have the faith? Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And how can they love God if they're not studying his word? I didn't say this to make anyone feel guilty, but it's a challenge to me. It's been a challenge the last few weeks to put his word, to eat up his word, to just devour his word, to pursue and desire his word with a passion that just the world can't understand. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we know you have fulfilled the first and great commandment, and you fulfilled all the commandments. And when we trust in you, we're given your righteousness, and we stand in you, totally accepted, totally loved. We can't be loved anymore. We can't have more favor with you because we're in your blessed Son. But we can pursue you and seek you. I pray, Lord, that you would give us all a heart to do that, and that this your word would become the most important thing in our lives, because when we're loving your word, we realize that we're loving you. Father, if there be someone here who has never placed their faith in your Son, that they're trying to get to heaven through their own works, that today would be the day of salvation, that they would realize their need for a Savior and that you died on the cross for their sins. And Father, we just thank you for this church and what it represents, and it represents rightly dividing your word. And I pray for each one of us, Lord, that we just have such a hunger and a thirst for you. As David said, Lord, that our soul would panteth for you, as a deer panteth for water. Place in us that desire, Lord, through your Spirit. And as Brother Frank said this morning, that, Lord, help us to make the right choice. Lord, give us the strength and just to make the choice that we should to live for you. And give us a heart for others. And I'll ask it all in your blessed Son's name. Amen.